for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.
Friday morning, May the 23rd, 1986. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Bill Smith of Fort Worth, Texas, is the teacher of the morning. Should this tape for any reason be defective, please explain and return for replacement.
I am so happy for what God is doing today. You know, Brother Jack and I were talking about this morning. You see, we started out in this race. We were very young. And of course, Brother Jack's got a few years on me there, but just the same. I heard a man say one time, he said, you know, I'm getting to be one of the old rats around the barn now. But you know, we've been in this a long time. And we praise God for what He's brought us from where He's taking us into.
Amen.
I praise the Lord for Glenn and Irma. Since the first time we came to this place, God so knitted us together. I was so grateful that God spoke to Irma. Told her she came to us for Fort Worth for them to invade our camps. So we've been in Bellevue, South Carolina together in ministry. We've been in Houston, Texas. They've been with us in Fort Worth a number of times. And you know, this place is an oasis in the desert. There's a lot of people that call us from Garland, Sherman, Mesquite, Wichita Falls. A lot of places they call us because they've been in contact with Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, with Glenn and Irma. Then I felt honored because people call me and they'll say, we call the Lake Hamilton and they recommended you. You know, I feel honored that we can be recommended by people that are walking with God. Oh, yeah. Now, this morning, I learned a long time ago that we must obey God if we're going to move any farther into where God is bringing us into. I realize that we're going to minister some this afternoon. But this morning, when I got up out of bed, God laid Irma and Glenn upon my heart. They're not made of steel. And I want to declare to you this morning, we in churches, we get a lot of cases. But brothers and sisters, they get the hard cases. And day after day, God has laid their name and their life upon our hearts that we prayed and cried out to God for them in intercessory prayer in our churches. And this morning, I want Glenn and Irma to come up because I want you to strengthen them. He was talking to us about the sword and all this caterpillar. You know who drives the caterpillar? Glenn. I was here years ago and there was a fire and Glenn was trying to get the backhoe to get a tank, gas tank out of the way, keep from it blowing up. Glenn got burned and I also sat in the same service and I saw God give him a miracle to remove the burn. Our God, but they are not made out of steel. And I tell you, they called me when there were needs in their physical bodies. And I'll tell you, Glenn, there's been times that there were people gathered around the home. I'd go in and I'd just lay down on the floor and I said, God, Glenn's in this case right now. And the burr is in his moccasin. Lord, I want to get this burr out of his moccasin. When he was having some problems with his physical body. Then Irma with this year, problem with this blood pressure. Brother and sister, I believe that it's time that you and I begin to stand together with the soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ and strengthen them in the battle. Hallelujah. Because we didn't come in to stay a while. We come here to finish it up. Hallelujah. I didn't come in to quit. I came in to help wind it up. So Irma and Glenn, come here please. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. 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 I tell you, Brother Glenn's not big in stature, but he carries a big stick. Hallelujah. I love you both. Father God, this morning, Lord, as you've laid upon our hearts many days and many times, God, this morning as we come boldly into thy presence in behalf of their needs, and God, this morning of their physical strength, Lord God, and Lord, in every aspect of their being, every aspect of their ministry, every aspect of their life, Father God, this morning as we lay hands upon them, Lord, we charge them for the journey, Lord. We charge them for the day that they're living in. God, that they themselves, Lord, will war a warfare that will tear down the powers and the principalities and the spiritual wickedness in high places. And Lord, the groaning and travailing creation, Lord, that comes from the north, the south, the east, and the west, Lord, that comes in their presence, Lord. God, make them the deliverance that you would have them to be, Lord. But oh God, this morning, we add strength to their physical body. In Jesus' name, through the impartation of thy spirit, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Father God, according to your word, be it unto them today, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah to our God. You know, I thank the Lord for this camp. When I came in yesterday, we came in time to be in prayer meeting. We were praying over the request. I was tired. But you know, it seemed like that there is such an incense of prayer that's gone up within this place that you can feel it. And brother, believe me, I'm not super spiritual. I'm not looking for anybody to pull no rabbits out of no hats. I want to see God manifested in this earth through these earthen vessels that God's raising up in this end time. So I praise the Lord for these. But there's something that when we come together and when we ministry, we come together. Because we're known practically across this United States and a lot of the foreign countries. But brother and sister, today there is such a responsible, I believe that there is a dispensation of the gospel that has been committed unto you and I. I know after almost 24 years, now you may not have come into this place, but after almost 24 years, I still get up all hours of the night and I'm still crying out that I might know Him. I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. I'm not talking about prophesying. I'm talking about knowing the very nature and the very character of our Lord and Savior, our Redeemer. So when we come together, we're always talking about men and women that we have known. And it's so sad that we wind up this way. Well, they really started out well and they really had the goods. That's some terminology. Maybe that's a Texas terminology. And they really had the goods. They really had the anointing of God upon their lives. They were walking in present day truth. The first thing has happened, they have stumbled and went off in the left field. And they have not finished well. Come on. But brother and sister, I believe now as Brother Jack, we've said time and time, we've come out of the come out and we've come out of the come out. And if it's necessary, we'll come out again. Amen. We've been through all of these rings. But I believe that we've tried to walk by the rule. I believe we've tried to walk by the word of the Lord. Not a hot dog, hamburger, chili revelation, but by the word of the living God. And so now I believe that there is another dimension that God is bringing within the body of Christ across this land. There is a dimension of judgment that is coming into the house of the Lord. Peter said it must first begin at the house of the Lord. I believe that this dimension of judgment is purifying the ministry to bring the ministry into a perfect order that they can bring the body into a perfect order. Because you see, the hand ministry, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastors, and teacher are the covering for the church, are the perfecting of the church, till we all come into the unity of the Son of God, into a perfect man, into the statue of the fullness of Christ, that will be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the spite of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in Him, in Christ, hallelujah, who is the head and the fullness of us all. So now what's got to take place? We have got to finish well. I never want to be a used to be. I want to walk in present day truth. Now, folks, many of us have came from many camps. We have camped in many camps. But, brother, I believe that the word of the Lord is crying out to us today that we must journey on. That we must journey on. And I believe that God is saying to us today, and that the trumpet of God, the prophetic utterance of God, is blowing today and is calling for you and I to journey on, that we come into the very nature and character of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Now, I want to look into the Word of the Lord this morning. Turn with me into the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. I will perhaps carry up some real faith preaching this morning. When I was a young Christian, young minister, had a lot of zeal, but wasn't according to knowledge. Oh, I would get the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and oh, I would read that and read that, and oh, I'd say, my God, look how these people got faith turned into sight. Women received their dead through faith. We understand that the world were framed by the Word. By faith, Enoch was translated that he did not see death, but before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Oh, I looked into all of these things, and I see how that Abraham was looking for a city. I believe he was looking for the right city. If you please, I believe that you are the city that he was looking for. If you remember, this city had foundations, brother. How many of you and I have seen the many of little spurts and little moves out there that there were no foundation in? This city's got foundation, and whose builder and maker was God. Now we look into all of that and we see, oh, that was so beautiful. But folks, how many knows that there's one name that's missing in there? There's one name that's missing in there. And brother, that is the name of Jesus is not in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Why, Brother Smith? I'm glad you asked. Because that was a parched ram faith. Brother Bill Goodson stood up here this morning and began to touch on what God has laid upon my heart. Brother and sister, this 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews will get you two things. How many believe that we're in this great move of God, that we need to have a testimony? I believe that we need to be an example. I believe that we need to pay our bills and we need to walk in the earth beyond and above reproach, because we are preaching a controversial gospel. And believe me, they've already got their eye upon us. So now let's just walk it out before them. If nothing else, they're going to acknowledge that we've been with Jesus. Hallelujah. So then we look into Hebrews, and it'll get you two beautiful things. Number one, it'll get you a good report. Verse 13. These all died in faith, not receiving the promises, but have seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now, brother and sister, I want you to know this morning, when I was just a small boy living in the state of California, my father and mother promised to me if I would, you see, because I lived with five girls, I got five sisters, and all my brothers became sisters, you know. So if you want to know what my problem is, I was raised with five girls. I'm the only boy of the crowd. I'm the best looking boy that my mother's got. So they promised me that they were going to buy me a brand new bicycle. Every day I would take the calendar and I would mark off the days. I've only got so many more days and I'm going to receive the promise. Now, brother and sister, today I want you to know I did not start in this race to quit. I did not start in this race to take time out. I started in this race to receive the promise. I want you to know to looking at it and embracing and said, oh, it's beautiful and it's wonderful to walk in God's life. It's wonderful. But brother, that is not good enough. I want to see the promises. And I want to walk in those promises and have those promises. So then let's notice. In this great, they received not the promises. Now let's turn over to the 39th verse of the same chapter. And these all obtained a good report through faith, received not the promises. Now, brother and sister, they seen faith turn into sight. They saw all these beautiful things, but they received not the promises. Now, what am I saying this morning? We have begun in this race, but brother, we've got to finish the race. Paul said in the book of Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, being confident of this one thing, he that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And brother, that's long enough. We are living in the day of the coming of our Lord. Now, brother and sister, we can put this off out here all the time, and we can take Colossians chapter 2, 9, verse 10, and we can say, well, we're complete in Christ. Brother and sister, you and I are in the process that we are being completed. Completed today. We are being worked by the Spirit of God in total surrender, total commitment unto God, that the Word of God is dwelling in us richly, having free course within us, and it's an inworking by the Spirit. Now, growing up, because you see, I was called to preach when I was 5 years of age. And I hear these great men of God, and I say, well, I'm going to be just like them. I want to be like them. When I grow up, I'm going to be just like them. Well, when I grew up, and then I found out everything that was gold, or that glittered, that was not gold. So then I began to see. Some of these people said, if we can't get the devil out of you, we'll just kick it out of you. I saw all of that and all of these things. But brother and sister, and then after I began to learn more about the Word of God, I didn't want to be like none of them, but I wanted to be like Jesus. Hallelujah. I wanted to walk like Jesus in shoe leather in this earth. So then, now let's notice a little further. How many remembers we were sold out in the garden? Our first parents sold us out. But I want you to know we were redeemed back in the garden again. There was our great high priest, the great intercessor. In the garden of Gethsemane that day, his sweat became as drops of blood. But brother, I want you to know, brother Jack and us, we had a real shaking some few years ago. And it really did shake us, but it never shook us. Because brother and sister, if anybody else don't make it, you and I have got to go on. We've got to go on. In this Garden of Gethsemane, we remember as Jesus prayed there, how many know that there were 12 apostles under the Lamb of God. But brother, I want you to know there were some of the apostles that went to sleep while Jesus was praying. Brother and sister, today there is a lot of the apostles of God to the body of Christ today. Brother Cook has gone to sleep today. But brother, there's no time for you and I to go to sleep. We read in the book of Joel chapter 2, and we see, and nothing shall escape them. How come nothing will escape them? Because they're not asleep. Brother and sister, I want to declare unto you, Brother Jack Harris and Brother Glenn and Sister Irma, we were in Houston, Texas last year, and I looked down, there's a man was walking down the aisle there. I reached over. Jack. And I said, Brother Jack, the Spirit shows me that this man is faced out under drugs, Oh, yes, but you can come and get a lot of people and get into this your spiritual attitude and get into a religious worship and get into be super spiritual and a lot of things. And a lot of people think, man, isn't that a man of God? Come on, folks. We're coming to the place that we're going to know them that labor among us. And we're going to bring a place, hallelujah, we're going to bring the church from the place where it is, the body of Christ. We're removing the reproach from off the body of Christ to bring the body of Christ into the glory of the Son of God. That the body of Christ will be filled with God's glory. Yes. Yes, they went to sleep. Jesus said, couldn't you wait 1 hour? Oh, yes, but their eyes were heavy. They went on to sleep. But I want to tell you something. The Bible says there, Matthew 26, but said, and Jesus went a little further. Huh? He went a little further. Brother and sister, God's calling upon you and I today to go farther than anyone has went before us or after. Brother, Joel said there's not a crowd like this. Joel said there's not like this under many generations. Brother, we've got to finish well. So then what are we going to do? We've got to receive the promises. We've got to receive. So, do you want sonship? What is sonship? Well, deliverance is a part of sonship. Hallelujah. You'll never become a son unless you're delivered. Come on, folks. Let's get every perspective in the right order. Hallelujah. Brother and sister, these are people going around and they got these super hot dog hammer revelations. Brother, that I said to a man one time, I said, I stand boldly in your face and I tell you that I believe in the move of God. And they say I'm move of God from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. Why don't you be honest and tell me that you believe in ultimate reconciliation and that you're preaching it? Come on, tell me right out to my face that you're in ultimate reconciliation. Oh, yes. He said, yes, I am. I said, I don't understand. I want to know where you're coming from. I've heard lots of stories. They said, well, you don't have to worry about a thing. Don't worry about a thing. Everybody's going to be saved. And if you don't make it this time, don't worry about it. You'll come in the next time. If you don't make it that time, don't worry about it. You'll come in the next time. Don't worry about it. If you don't make it that, you'll come in the next time. That's nothing but hogwash. Brother, that's bound for the pits of hell. Hallelujah. It came from the pit and we're going to put it back into the pit. Hallelujah. Because God's bringing forth a creation that's going to follow the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And we're going to finish well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then let's notice as we go on a little further. Verse 40. And God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now, I want you to know, folks, how many remembers Revelation talks about the 24 elders, the patriarchs, and all of these? Oh, yes. We remember of the 12 tribes of Israel. And I'll tell you, this Bill Goodson right here, he belongs to Judah. He's one of them are worshipers. But you know what? Judah is the forefront in victory, forefront in battle, and Judah is the only tribe that God gave them a paddle to bury the rubbish. Hello? So we're coming forward, folks. So then we see these 12 tribes going around there. We see then where they had a lamb for a house. Then we see where the family, if it was too small, then they put two families together. It'd be a lamb for the two families. Oh, and then we see a lamb for the nation. Then we're seeing nations for nations that God's raising up today. But now let's notice something again. God having provided some better scene for us. I can see as those animal sacrifices did not take away no sin. Only covered the sin year by year. Now, brother, as a high priest, had to impart that sin from the head of the sinner unto the innocent animal, which was portraying the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world, according to Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. All right. But then we see this better thing. This animal sacrifice. But one day, the Word come walking. Jesus Christ, John the Baptist cried out, behold the Lamb of God. I believe that you and I are living in the days of bringing forth the John the Baptist ministry, and that we're crying out, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." So then, what happened? Here was this Lamb wiped the altars clean of all of those sacrificial lambs. He said, "I didn't come to be religious." He said, "I come in the volume of the book to do thy will, O God. To take away the first, to establish the second." And brother and sister, that's what's taking place today. So if God is demanding for you to go farther than anyone that's before you, bless your heart, get ready, and let's go forward. Hallelujah. If we're going to move the stumps and we're going into new ground and the new dimension, then God, allow God to shoe you with badger skin that you'll be able to take the terrain that you're in. Now, so then, he wiped those altars clean. But then the day came. On resurrection morning, Mary Magdalene, whom that God had cast out seven devils out of her, seeing Jesus that morning, she looked over to touch Jesus. Jesus said, "Don't touch me yet, because I haven't ascended to my Father and your Father, but you go tell him." He hadn't applied the blood to the mercy seat. But I want you to know, when it came out of there, I can see old Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob holding on to that credit voucher. Hallelujah. Awaiting for the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world. I want you to know they walked up there with that credit voucher. You see, a credit voucher is not good for money. It, many times a credit voucher is for you to hold. It's a note, and that you'll get paid on the first of the month, or you'll get paid the first of the year, or whenever it may be. But I can see those old patriarchs holding that credit voucher. And I want you to know, when Jesus came in and he saw Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as he began to redeem those credit vouchers, and that the blood was applied to their life, and then and there they were redeemed under God. But you see, today God has provided some better thing for us. They without us cannot be made perfect. So now, why? So then let's go on to where the faith that we're looking for today. Now, you know something? God's calling you to go farther than anyone else. I don't know about you. It's hard for me to handle people throwing stones at Moses and throwing stones at Elijah. Don't you tell me you ain't never got under a juniper tree. Come on. We're all flesh, but we're being delivered from the flesh. So Moses, there's never been a greater man from Adam to Christ than Moses. Now, I'm aware that he should have spoke to the rock when he smote the second time. Do you know why he smote the rock? You see, Jesus came the first time, and he was rejected and despised. He was coming in. No one desired him. He was a root out of dry ground. Look at Isaiah 53. No one desired him. All right, that was the smitten rock. But he said, next time, Moses, you speak to the rock. Brother, I want you to know that rock that they followed was Christ. And brother, when he comes this time, he is the captain of the host. He is the captain over the King of Kings, over Lord of Lords. And as Brother Glenn said, oh, judges over judges. Brother, he is above and beyond every place where that you attain in God. He is still the leader. He is still the way, the truth, and the life, and the door. So then what are we going to do? We're going to look to him. All right, now let's notice. Wherefore, we're seeing we're so compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race set before us. Now, sometimes in Texas, people get under the myth bush. You know what a myth bush is? As they say in Mexico, come on, they say myth bush. How do you say myth bush? Some people get under myth bushes when they're going through trials and tests and tribulation. Brother and sister, you're coming to a place that you're going to thank God for every trial and every tribulation that you go through. because I want you to know God's going to bring you out in a balance. You're going to be balanced out before God gets through with you. Look at Job, knew the right hand of God, and he knew nothing but the blessings of God. But God's not a one-armed bandit. He's got two arms. He's got a left arm that he's going to try you with. And he's going to bring you into a balance. And you're going to see the Word and the Spirit balanced out in your life. So then, when he talks about Hebrews 12 and 1, it's talking about a theater, as it were. That we're out there, and we've got a script. And I remember my script when God gave me my script at 5 years of age. And there's been some times that I've sat down and I felt sorry for myself. Hello? There's been times I've been like those cattle that were pulling the ark on the new cart. They were lowing as they went. They were going against their will. Brother and sister, I learned a long time ago that I must will my will unto God, that I have no will. It has to be the will of God. So, what are we? God gave us the script. And we said, yes, Lord, that's the script that we want. So now you and I are just acting it out, or we're carrying it out today. We're so compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. So now we're walking it out in shoe leather today. But you see, we've got to finish well. How many great men and women of God? I can remember when Brother Jack and I came in to this ministry. Brother Jack had already been getting quite a bit about sonship when we first met him, and he was not preaching it very strong in those days. And so then, all of a sudden, this is early, you know, when it was not even popular. Brother, we had to suffer for it. And then sometimes I had such a good attitude about it, you know, when they start persecuting me. I thought, all right, you stay down in the wilderness. I'll come down and bring you out then. But I learned I had to change my attitude, because I found out that wasn't the attitude of God. But you see, now we're going to have to bring them up out of the wilderness. What are we going to do, folks? Brother, if we're going to bring that 60-fold church up out of the wilderness, leaning upon the blood, brother, we're going to have all the incense of the merchant man of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to have to be looking unto him if we're going to do it. So then verse 2, a very familiar scripture to all of us. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author, are the original. Now, look in Exodus chapter 25. And the word of the Lord came to Moses. And God said to Moses, said, now you build according to the pattern that I showed thee in the mount. Now, brother and sister, he said, you build according to the original. The original is the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. And even before God said, let there be light, there was the Lamb of God. The problem of a lot of people, they don't know that there was a Christ before there was a Jesus that ever squalled in Bethlehem. In the bosom of the Father, there was the Christ. Then let's notice again as we go on here, looking unto the originator. And brother and sister, today, God has never altered the pattern. He never altered the pattern for Moses. But I know that Moses did not go into the promised land at that time. But brother, 2,000 years later, old Moses walked in the streets of Judea when the prophets and Jesus came on the scene. Hello? Hello? And then look at Luke 24:44. Huh? Don't you build no doctrine until you see it's established in the law and the prophets and the Psalms that was wrote concerning me. Luke 24, verse 44. Then let's notice as we go, looking unto the pattern, looking unto what God is building you and I about. This is sonship, folks. This is an overcomer. Jesus learned obedience through the things which he suffered, tempted in all points, and yet without sin. We are coming to the place that we're going to walk untemptable in God. I haven't got there yet. But I see people now that they have arrived more than I've ever seen in my life. And their shallowness sticks out and their noviceness sticks out all the time. But then let's notice, looking unto the author, the originator. And then here's where it is. The and finisher of our faith. With this faith, brother, will bring you into the promises of God. I'm not interested in getting out and running 24 years for God and then fall under some error or get into some immorality and some of these things. Brother and sister, I've got to obtain the promises of God. I've got to walk this out in the earth today to bring God's kingdom forth to the earth. That we will see this new heaven and the new earth coming down because the first one has passed away. Hallelujah. But looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, Brother Bill Goodson's been talking to you about the joy of the Lord. And Nehemiah 8 is your strength. Now, I want you to know, when I'm in Lake Hamilton, and I got all of these people down here that's got power with God, and that very knows the very seat of Satan. And the Bible says we will do. Come on. Well, then I can get in faith up beyond my eyeballs. But I have a problem when I get out there by myself. Huh? That's where I have a problem. But brother and sister, I'm talking about a finisher that's going to bring you and I into the finished work of God. I want you to know we can all start out well and mushroom up. But brother, we've got to finish this race. Now, this joy of the Lord. Joy. It's not, and of course, nothing else it would help your arthritis because Paul said body exercise profits a little. And I'm not against jumping. I'm not against dancing because the Bible said praise Him in the dance. You said, I'm not going to get in the flesh. I don't know of any higher order for the flesh to do than to praise God. Come on, folks. Let's get with it. Hallelujah. But brother and sister, I want to say to you today, when every adverse circumstance has come your way, and when everything has erupted in your face, can you stand in those circumstances and still have the joy of the Lord? Brother, I'm talking about a realm of maturity and an attribute of joy that you're going to look in every adverse circumstance and still know that God is the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, I don't know if you know this or not. There's a little keyhole. Not the keys of David that we're going to carry upon our shoulder. That's the keys of authority. A little keyhole out there in that door. God can pull you through that keyhole if you can stand the pull. Hallelujah. He'll bring you through it if you can stand the pull. So don't you go to saying that God can't do it. There's nothing that our God cannot do. All things are possible unto him that believeth. Brother and sister, today, now, do you want to finish well? Moses, Jesus went farther than anyone had ever went before. Moses went farther than anyone before. He went to the Mount of God. You said, but he missed the Lord. He was still fruitful on the backside of the desert, brought forth two sons. And then what happened? God was raising up a deliverer. Now, according to Acts 7, he understood, he thought everybody knew that God had called him to be a deliverer. What have you been called to do? To deliver groaning and travailing creation. They're just waiting, not for a rapture, but for a manifestation of the sons of God. Now, he's waiting for a manifestation. What does that mean? A showing forth. Now, brother and sisters, we that's been the old rats around the barn, people say, how long have you been in this, Brother Smith? I said, I never knew there's anything else but move of God. That's all I've ever known. For 24 years. But, brother, sometimes I look at myself and I get myself by my own shirt collar and I say, God, what's wrong with me that I'm no farther down the road than I am today? There's no problem with you, God. The problem is here with number one. But, brother, in the same time, wake up in the night. My wife says to me, she says, what's the matter? And I say, I never felt better in all the days of my life. But sleep has come away from me. I'm going to my study and I'll try to be as quiet as I can be. Going there and as God begins to bring people before us. We begin to see the Word of the Lord. And God begins to show you new dimensions and new areas in the Word of the Lord that you've got to bring about in your life. Listen, folks, a lot of people come into Revelation and they were crying out that they were in the formation. Revelation is not formation. Brother and sister, you and I are coming into the formation of the Word of the living God today. He said, Brother Smith, you're supposed to teach. Well, I got to tell you everything I know because I got to go home tonight. So, you see, now, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, it can get you a good report in Hebrew, but they all died in faith, not receiving the promises. So then, what have we got to do? We've got to look to Jesus. Because the Jesus I read in the priestly prayer of John 17, for that he finished the work that God has given him. Then I look into again, and Paul said that God is able to keep that which we have committed unto him. But now God's raising up men and women in the earth today that's able to keep that which he has committed unto them. Brother Jack Harris and I, we spent many lonely hours together running up and down this highway of preaching this gospel. Many days and many nights and many thousands of miles wore out many cars. But brother and sister, those were some of the greatest days that we've ever known in our lives. We would get into these places after driving 1,200, 1,400 miles. Driving straight through one, get under the wheel, drive out a tank of gas, fill it up, and the other one crawl under the wheel, drive that tank of gas out, and then the other one get under there. And going on and on. Walk into the service, and oh, there was that life-giving spirit. Oh, so quick in our being, you could look at us as if though we'd had 24 hours of sleep. Why? Because we had laid hold upon that life. And brother and sister, today this is where it's all about. We've got to lay hold upon God's life. We've got to look to the author and the finisher of our faith today to receive these promises. Since I've been in this camp, I've talked to a lot of people. They know a lot of people that we know that we've walked with day after day. And the first thing, they already know what's happened. They already know what's happened. But brother and sister, let it not be said of us. Let it not be said of us. Let us look unto the finisher of this faith. Hallelujah to God that we will receive the promises of God. That we'll walk it out in this earth doing the eternal will and the eternal purpose of God in this earth. Brother and sister, this is where it's all at today. Now, I want the promises. A good report is not enough. It's not enough. Now, so then we see that the promises, only the faith that's in Jesus Christ is going to bring you into the promises. Then let's notice this great leader of Moses. There was a bush caught on fire one day. This was no news to Moses. He had seen those bushes burning every day. But the only thing the bushes before had been consumed and burned up and went into ashes. But he looked at this bush and it was burning continually. Do you know what that is a symbol of? The Holy Ghost. Burning continually. You see, we went through this thing. We even got into it with a group of people, came and knocked on the door of my motel room in Georgia one time and said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm sleeping. I'm resting. He said, you mean after all of that living word flew out of you and flowed out of you this morning that you're tired? I said, oh, brother, I've not arrived yet. He said, oh, I've been baptized with fire. He said, I've already arrived. I said, sit down here a minute. I got to talk to you. Sit down here a minute. I said, are you relating to the Holy Ghost and fire? He said, oh, yes, I got a revelation. And I got baptized. I said, you did. I said, now I got to talk to you just for a moment. So he sat down there on the bed, and I said, do you remember Acts 2? the day of Pentecost had fully come? He said, oh, yes, I've read that. I said, did you know it had been on its way for over 1,600 years? But I said, the day of Pentecost had fully come. And I said, tongues set on them as tongues of fire. Clothing tongues as tongues of fire. He said, oh, yes, yes. That was to receive, give them power. I said, now, turn with me. I want you to go with me into Luke now, chapter 3, and verse 22 and 23. And I want you to read the scripture right here with me. I said, when Jesus, the day of his adoption came, he was 30 years of age, had come into the realm of maturity, that he could sign the Father's name and that the Father would back it up. The Father spoke out of the glory world at that baptism of his and said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. And then the Spirit descended and something taken place. Brother and sister, only a few men and women had entered into the realm of God that they had saw the heavens open. A lot of them sat down by the same river and they saw and they remembered and they wept when they remembered Zion. And their heart was upon the willow tree. But Ezekiel the priest, he saw the heavens open and he saw the visions of God and saw the formation of Christ in the four faces. So, he said, yeah, I understand. That's the Bible. I said, now, if you remember, the Spirit came upon those patriarchs of old and then it would depart. But I said, we got something brand new. There's a new day that come in. I said, the Spirit descended upon Jesus and the Bible said, and it abode there. It took up residence there. And I said, now why did the Spirit come upon Jesus in the form of a dove? He said, I don't know. I said, let me tell you, just listen now to a minute. Why that the fire came upon those 120 in that upper room is because they're like you and I. They still got to have deliverance and they still got to be purged and they got to be purified, and that's why the fire is upon them. But I said, Jesus, he received the Spirit in the form of a dove because there was nothing to remove from him. Hallelujah. Come on, I'm sick and tired of hot dog hamburger revelation. I want to know the Word of God and to walk out the Word in this land that we're living in today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you see, looking unto Jesus, the originator, the pattern. My wife is quite a seamstress. In fact, my wife is just pretty good at everything, if you please. If you've ever been, Glenn and Irma's been on my case now for about 4 or 5 years about my wife coming down here. Well, it's not that I'm ashamed of her, but it's just kind of hard for us to leave the stuff at the same time because we're gone so much in ministry and taking care of the work of the Lord in Mexico that Lord has enabled us to build in Mexico. So, now looking unto Jesus, the originator and the finisher. You've got your eyes upon Jesus, brother. Many of you probably know a man from up in Idaho. Came to us. He's a great big man. And so he had a great word from the Lord when we first started out in this race. So, when we became pastor, this man kept coming to us along the way. So, all of a sudden, we began to see that this man had become stale. He had present-day truth there. But you see, you have to continue to move on. Folks, we're not going to get no more manna. It's already ceased. The 15th day, the crossing of the Jordan and the pillar and the clouds experience is over with. Now it's going to be in the inward man. As Psalmist said in 51, he said that truth to be in the inward parts. So now it's in the inward man. So he came there and so I thought, well, I sure got to get on the road today. It's on a Monday morning. I said, I've got a meeting and I've got to get down there and be there for service tonight. So after a while, I discerned that he had something that he wanted to talk to me about. And I said to him, I said, brother, I discerned that you have something that you want to say to me. He said, yes, I sure do. He said, I was just waiting around to get to talk to you. So he said, I see that you're walking on out into the depths of God. He looked at me and he said, son, be careful because you're going to get off in the deep end. I said, but brother, there's one thing that you've overlooked. It said of his kingdom, there is no end. So then if I've got my eyes upon the originator, upon the pattern, and brother, I'm not talking about taking them off. I'm talking about keeping my eyes upon him. Brother, we're not going to get off on the deep end. We're going to follow me on through to the other side. As I said earlier, we didn't get in this race to quit. I got in this race to help wind it up, deliver the kingdoms of this world, that they become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and that we reign forever and forever in this earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother, do you see where we're at today? Then I look at this great leader, Moses. He was ready to run. I can never forget when I was just a young preacher going into the meetings. I thought, Lord, if that moderator only knew I had to work. Come on, don't tell me that we didn't get through that preacher's itch. I had a lot of zeal, but it sure wasn't according to knowledge. He just only knew that I had the word. Well, come on, tell me, Moses. He was called to deliver, not to deliver one person. Come on. All right. So, when God began to give me a word that there was, people were calling for us to go and minister. Then I go, as I did here this morning. I go to that pulpit with trembling knees. God, have I got news for this people today. I know that I have a portion of your word, but God, have I got what they have need of today. I want you to know I'm almost like Moses of old said, I've got a slow tongue. But brother, I want you to know when God moves me out of my shoes and he gets in, it doesn't matter no longer because I don't see nothing or see nobody then. I only see God. And when God begins to manifest himself and flow through us, I don't see nothing but the manifestation of our God. So that day, God said to Moses, Moses, what's that in your hand? He said, it's a rod. Well, you know what that is? That was a rod that it was his support. He leaned upon that rod when he was weary. It was his support. And God said to Moses, cast it to the ground. Brother, he ain't got nothing to lean on then. This is where that is today, brother. I want you to know outside of God, we're going to do nothing. Without me, ye can do nothing. Brother, last night quoted John 15:7. But brother, outside of God today, you and I are going to do nothing. But brother, I want you to know in the same token, in him, I want you to know that we are complete. We are the helpmate of God. And God in this earth with his helpmate, hallelujah, we're going to bring forth the Son of God. I see these people today that's already manifested. Brother, I'm here to tell you this morning that the navel cord has never been clipped from the mother. The mother and the son are still eating together. But one day, you're going to see that mother, that cord's going to be clipped, and that son's going to come forth to rule the nation with a rod of iron. Hallelujah, God. And the dragon is standing before the mother today to devour the child as soon as it's being born. But brother, God's raising up some first fruits that's going to put him underfoot. Sure, he's standing before the church to devour her child as soon as it's being born. I got news for him. Got news for him. He's not going to do it. So then, oh Moses, slew to the ground. But he ain't got nothing to lean on no more. Now, going to have to look to the author and the finisher. The one that spoke to him out of the bush, he said, get your shoes off your feet, you're on holy ground. But first of all, he said, I want you to turn aside. Come on. Has God ever told you to turn aside? Yes, sir. Turn aside, see him. Brother and sister, day by day, I talked to Irma yesterday. And I said, Irma, I have a problem. I said, Irma, we're like you and Brother Glenn because I've had such a burden for Glenn and Irma. Because I love those people. And when they came and spent the night in my home, I felt honored because I felt that I had honored guests in my home with me. But brother and sister, I told Irma yesterday, I said, Irma, I've got a problem. I believe that we're working for God so hard that we cannot work with God. Come on, folks. You can work for God and die. Brother, you can work with God and live. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And this is where God's bringing us in today. So now Moses has no support. It's all been cast to the ground. Then God said to Moses, says, pick it up. So that course, you know, what happened when it became a snake? Did he stand there and start stopping it? No, the Bible said he ran from it. Come on. He had no support. He ran from it. Brother, are you running today or are you reigning? We're going to reign in life by one Christ Jesus. So then what happens? God says, Moses, pick up the rod. And you know what he did? He picked it up by the tail. Am I reading this right, Brother Jack? Picked it up by the tail. Now, Brother Smith, why did he pick it up by the tail? I'm glad you asked. Because it was not time yet to bruise his head. Come on, folks. It was not time to bruise his head. So Moses grabbed it by the tail and shows the enemy that he is no free agent, and he turns him back into a rod. What are you doing in this camp? Brother, you're showing him he is no free agent. He's going to run over everybody that he can. Brother, we're putting him in his place.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. You're no free agent. Brother, I want you to know God's given us power over all of the powers of the enemy. That's why that we're delivering, groaning, and travailing creation. That's why that you and I are saved. Being saved and going to be saved. We're coming into a body salvation. Body, soul, and spirit. Being totally redeemed unto God. That we're going to walk in this earth as Jesus Christ walked in this earth. As He is, so are we in this present world. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You're no free moral agent. You're not free. I'll just reduce you back to the rod. But now, what was God telling that great deliverer? Huh? How many remembers Matthew 3 said, to rule my people? Look in that same rendering of that verse. And it says, to feed my people or nurture my people. Now, so then, when he cast it down to the ground, what was God saying? Look in this, folks. This great truth. I've known about this over 20 years. But I'd never seen what God just showed me just a few days ago. And when they cast that rod to the ground, God said, that's my delegated authority. That's my government that I've cast to the earth dwellers. Hallelujah to God. And I said, God, I'm in contact with this earth, but my citizenship is with you, and I'm in heavenly places with you, but I'm in contact with this earth where the curse is, that we're going to deliver this land out from under the curse. We're going to deliver God's people out from under the curses. So then what does God say? That delegated authority. Thrown to the ground. To this ministry. Hallelujah. Oh, it thrills me. But then he said, now, what's taking place? Then Romans chapter 16 and verse 20 said, and the God of peace, not confusion, but the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. So now you see the time has come again that we're going to bruise the head of the serpent. Moses took it by the tail, but brother, the time has come now that we're going to the very lifeline of it. We're going to deliver this world out from the place that it's in. But how are we going to do this? In some hot dog hamburger revelation? No, sir. The revelation of this 66 books, this canon of God, that's taking us in to the author, the finisher of our faith. How many of you have come to emergencies and you didn't even have time to pray your fancy prayer for your deliverance and for your safety, and you only had time to get the name Jesus out, and that was all that was necessary? Huh? That was all that was necessary. The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. But brother and sister, today, are you looking to the pattern? That's what your life is to be formed by. Transformed. As Paul says in Romans 12 7:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove which is good, acceptable, perfect will of God. And don't you tell me that there's three wills, sir. I've heard people say there's a permissive will and a good will. You're looking to the ritualist, looking for one will, and that's the will of God. That's what we're after today. I had a person come up on a little crutch to me and said, "Now, Brother Smith, now I know that you're against this marriage because you say it's not of the will of God." I say, "Yes, sir. I want to look you into the eyeball, and you look me into the eyeball, and this is not the will of God." And so they looked at me and they said, "But Brother Smith, God blessed Ishmael because he was Abraham's seed." And brother, that's where we're having a problem today, the religious war. This Moses over there in Iran and Iraq and over in Libya. This is where these here Ishmaelites got off to. And my grandfather always told me an old cliche that was so true. There's some of them that wasn't. I heard one time, I think it's good to say. They said it's in the Bible. The cleanliness is next to godliness. But it's not in the Bible. It is a good saying. But this old cliche that my grandfather said to me, he said, "Son," he said, "the birds of a feather flock together." Huh? What happened? Esau went down to Ishmael's house to get his little bride. Tell me that the birds of a feather don't flock together. Brother, I want you to know we've been born of the Spirit, and day by day we're waiting for our change, that we will come into the very likeness and the image of God. Brother Clint last night quoted, or sister did, Mary Ann quoted last night, 2 Corinthians 3:18, of being changed from one realm of glory to another realm of glory into the same image. Folks, we have been joined to one Spirit, that we ourselves are coming up bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh in this earth. He that is joined them to the Lord is what? He that is sanctified and they that are sanctified are what? One. And brother, this is where we're coming. You said, "Bo Smith, are you preaching in Jesus' name?" I'm not talking about a ritual. I know a lot of people's got their baptism and that's all of their ritual, and I don't want to get on that. But I'm talking about coming into the oneness with the Son that will bring us in oneness with the Father.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I want to be like the Son, because the Bible says that the Son, the fullness of God, dwell within the Son, and it pleased the Father for it to do so. So you see, I don't believe, as John 3:30 said, He dealt to him the Spirit without measure. Brother and sister, where did you say that you can only have so much of God? Don't limit yourself to God. Receive God's fullness. But now let's notice, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. His dimension of faith conquered every circumstance, overcame sin and death, and obtained the promises. How many remembers Revelation 1:18? Huh? That's me. I was dead. I was once dead. But now I'm alive forevermore. And I've got the keys of death and hell. I hear people going around and saying that the devil got all the authority. And even when Adam fell, that the devil went up there and said, "Oh, I'll take those keys of authority." I was listening the other day, listening to a great pioneer of the gospel. This pioneer was saying, "Well, back in those days when he graduated from school, you didn't get diplomas. You got keys. You carried those keys on your belt, and ever how many keys that you carried, it was how many degrees that you had." And so Jesus goes down there, and he looked at the enemy right in the eyeball, and he said, "Look, buddy, I'm going to take those keys. And I'm going to keep those keys until someone comes on the earth that I can give the keys to." And brother, I want you to know he stripped him. And this brother said that's the first streaker that he's ever seen. When he stripped the devil, he was the first streaker. Hallelujah. And what are we doing today? Day by day, we are stripping him. in the temples that he's tried to inhabit and has inhabited, with the cults, drugs, and all sex, immorality, homosexual, all of these things that it will not go into the kingdom of God. We're delivering the body from it today. That's why that my heart goes out to Glenn and Irma, because we've been pastoring 17 years. And I'll tell you, sometimes we get some pretty good cases ourselves. And then I think of what Irma and Glenn get. And then we want to come and stack more load upon them. I love them too much. I want to help carry the load. Hallelujah. That we can carry this load to the kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus obtained the promises. Then listen. He did the perfect will of God by faith. He never recalled a word. He never retraced a step. Every word and every step was fruit in due season. And brother and sister, this is where we're at today. Then notice what he conquered death by faith. He arose from the death and ascended to the right hand of the majesty on high by faith. Then one day, I remember the first miracle. There was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and John there. So they had wine, and they run out of wine. So Mary, she was wanting to be helpful. Don't tell me that. I believe next to God's love is the mother's love. I've only have two daughters. Both my boys was girls. You see, that's why I was raised up with girls, and all that we could have was girls. We had one boy, and of course we lost it. But nevertheless, but mother's love, and I love my girls dearly, and many of you know my girls, and I'm not proud of my girls, because proud is a dirty word. But I'm grateful. And Irma and Glenn, and of course Brother Jack, has known them since they were babies on up. And if you'd ever heard a word that came over my baby daughter, Brother Jack, myself, we were wrung out. In all of my 24 years of ministry, I've never seen a prophetic projection like that, Brother Jack, in Athens, Georgia. Remember that day, Brother Jack? I never seen such a projection. In all of my 24 years of ministry, I've never come in to that place like that before or since. Because, brother and sister, I believe that we as ministry, Brother Jack and many other ministry, even from Canada and elsewhere, and all over the parts of the United States, were there. I believe that we and the ones that the prophetic projection went over, I believe that we were seated in the throne room of God that day. And I'm grateful for my girls. But I want to say, there's never been a love, but except for God's love, except for mother's love. So she looked at Jesus and she said, "But they have no wine." Jesus looked at her and he says, "Woman, what do I have to do with thee?" Am I in the Bible? Is this right, Brother Jack? So he was not being and was not dishonoring his mother. I don't care how many Catholicism has prayed, "Holy Mother of God." The reason why that those ties had to be broken from that mother and son relationship, because Mary had to be redeemed unto God. So then and there, he broke the earthly ties from his mother that she could be redeemed unto God. So he began to turn the water into wine, and so that best wine was life. Brother, I've got news for you. God's bringing forth his right hand. God is bringing forth the new wine dispensation. We are coming in the last hour. But brother and sister, this is the most glorious hour that's ever been known to humanity.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So you see, this is where God's bringing us into. Turning the water into wine. Healing the lepers, the palsy, and of the fever. Calming the storm. You know, we have some people in Texas. I just wonder if they have them that way in Arkansas. We got some people that will go with us and come into meetings like this. Don't leave the grounds. I don't know, you know, I hope I'm not super spiritual. But it seems like when I leave a meeting like this that I've been on the grounds, and when I go out and I see the world, it's so distasteful. And it seems like that when I, as soon as I get home, I feel that I need to take a bath to get that off from where that I stopped into the places to eat or to fill up with fuel and whatnot. Because I've walked in such holy ground. And I'm not talking up being so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good now. But brother and sister, I'm talking about a realm that we're walking in. And this is where God is wanting us to continue to walk in. That we're walking in this new wine dispensation. Now, we see these people and they'll come with us to these meetings and they'll come over to me about the second day. And of course, we have received calls from all over the United States, letters from all over the United States, and saying the meeting that we had in our assembly, not because of Pastor Bill Smith, that has nothing to do with it, it was only God. Said the greatest and grandest, glorious meeting that they've ever been in the history of their lives. Phone call after phone call, and Sister Myrna came to me, she says, Brother Smith, she said, in one church in California, we came into the depth of the Spirit that is here in your place. But as we travel across this country, we don't see the depth of the Spirit that's in here. Okay, is it because we got a corner on God? No, sir. I believe that we know how to pray. We quit having begging sessions over 24 years ago. We don't have gimme sessions or begging sessions either. We just come in and begin to worship God. And begin to love God. And we get more blessings accidentally and get more and then they do on purpose. Guy called me the other day, said, how you doing? Bill, I said, oh, I've never had it so good in all my life. The blessings of the Lord are just overtaking me daily. Come on, folks. I'm talking about walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of the faith, that will bring the promise, that will bring the consummation that to whom the ends of the earth has come upon. How many knows when the Bible says, in that day? Isaiah kept saying, in that day the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountain. All nations shall flow into it, and we shall go up and say, come unto the house of the Lord, and we shall learn His way, and we shall teach His way, and we shall walk in His steps. And on and on and on. But brother, when I, and they'll say to me, say, Pastor, when I get home, you're going to see a different man than you've ever seen before in the church. Well, this here really goes on real good for about 4 or 5 days. Huh? God didn't change. Hebrews 13:8 said Jesus Christ, same yesterday and forever. That's what Caleb got a hold of. When he said, I'm just as well enabled this day as I was 45 years ago. He got a hold of never changing God. And this is what we're talking about today. Get a hold, lay hold upon the Word of God. And so, about a week, and then first thing I start looking around. My brother said last night, he's talking about them mule faces. Get around. They used to be, Judge Terrell was a judge in our city. And his wife used to come to our church a lot. And so, I was not pastoring at that time. My pastor was a former lawyer, and he was a teacher of the Word. He wasn't as fiery and as loud mouthed as Bill Smith, but he was a teacher. So she come there, and she was getting up in years, and she'd say, I sure do like to hear that little preacher preach, because I can hear him. She'd come in the building. She said, I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. We got people that they look like that the wall fell in on them sometimes. God hasn't changed, folks. If you've got your eyes upon the pattern, you don't have to change. Hallelujah. Looking unto Jesus, the originator and the finisher of our faith, to bring us into the promises of God. Hallelujah. Yes. Now, calming the storms. What happened? You know the story. The fourth watch of the night. Oh, yes, the darkest hour. Yes, I can walk, and boy, when I'm down here and get faith up to here. And after our convention, we went home because we just moved to the church and lived too, just like a lot of the other people do. Brother Jack, we got a, a room down there, and this right there is Brother Jack's room, and nobody else gets that room. Nobody gets that room. It's Brother Jack's. So mine's down about four doors below there because we have to move to the church too, because we have so many people that come in. We have to be there to be able to take care of everything. So we move out of our home, and we let a lot of the ministry go into our home, and then we start renting motels, put them in motels, and everything. But then after this meeting, went home and hadn't seen the television. Went in, I thought, well, you know how we'll do. After you've been there day and night, and you want to change your name 50 times, don't we, Glenn? I'm going to change my name to Elmer. Maybe nobody will think of Elmer. Everybody want to call him for Bill. 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 So I go in there and I said, well, I'm just going to flop down and I'm going to watch the news. Just sit down there watching the news, and so here comes on a TV program. It looks so distasteful. And don't say that I'm against television. I've got two. But I just think we need to know how to turn it on and off. But the thing is what I'm talking about. If we come into that realm and everything else becomes so distasteful to us in that time, how come we cannot walk in this earth, delivering, growing, and travailing creation? They're out there just waiting to be set free. Brothers and sisters, when I was racing cars and racing boats, living so dangerously, and everything all the time, I was running, looking for reality. And I didn't find it racing cars and didn't find it racing boats. But I found reality that night when I had the encounter with Jesus. I said, I've had enough of everything else. I said to myself that night, I said, if it takes weeks, if it, however how many days it takes, I'm staying here till you fix me up. I'm not leaving here till you fix me up. So that night, God saved me. God filled me with the Spirit. I rose to my feet and I began to prophesy, and I didn't even know what prophecy was. Huh? And brother and sister, they told me in Beaumont, Texas, that I'd cool down as I got older. But I told Glenn this morning, I said, brother, we're not going to retire. We're just going to refire. Hallelujah. We're going to walk out according to the original pattern, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself in this earth, looking to that finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. But you see, then on that fourth watch of the night, the darkest hour, here comes Jesus a-walking on what was sinking them. Hallelujah. Brother and sister, it's time for you and I to get up and get the shoe leather on our feet and to walk on the things that's been sinking us. That we'll walk this out in the earth, never become in the realm of lethargy, a sleepy stage, but always alert that nothing escapes or gets by us. This is where God is speaking to my heart today. Because many started out in this race with us, and they said, we're going all the way. They're almost like the two prodigal sons in Luke 15. I know a lot of people think there was only one there, but there were actually two. One of them strayed, and the other one stayed. So you see, neither one inherited or moved in to the promises of God. Oh, I've been here all the time. Guy came up to me the other day. He said, I want you to know, Pastor. He said, I've got a great gift. He said, I'm a professional bench warmer. I said, I don't remember reading that one in the Word. You can be a professional bench warmer and still miss out what God's doing, folks. You can't rub shoulders with the move of God and be move of God. You're going to have to get involved. You're going to have to participate and be a part of it. So this is where it is. I'm not planning on staying or not planning on straying away. I want to follow the Lord. As Revelation 14:4 said, these are they that are redeemed from the earth and redeemed from among men, and they follow the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. And this be the first fruits unto God. Hallelujah. Brother and sister, this is what we're talking about. I'm talking about this company that God is raising up in this end time, that's following the Lamb whithersoever He goeth. You're going to go through dark hours when you leave this place. But brother and sister, Jesus Christ is still the same.
Hallelujah.
God has delegated unto you the power and the dominion of the Lord. As God was using as symbol when Moses threw that rod upon the ground, said, I delegate unto these earth dwellers this mine authority. How do we get rid of the spirits within us? By the authority of God. The delegated authority. Hallelujah. But brother and sister, then people says, yeah, but sometimes we can just say to the mountain and it will be removed. And we can budge out this your age that we're living in. You see, we're living in this age, but we're ministering for another age. We're dwelling in one age and been called to another age. You see, this is the king priest ministry that we've got one hand into the hand of the eternal God and the other hand upon God's creation. A ministry in the earth to bring forth God's kingdom. So you see, folks, when you get out there and you're going to meet the adversary many times and you may be alone, but brother, know this. That God's power is within your reach. And in closing this morning, notice something this morning. Look at Moses, that great deliverer, that great leader. Oh yes, he brought them out. And we see the first song that was ever sang, Brother Bill. In Exodus 15, the song of Moses. Oh man, we're walking in knee deep in glory and apple high faith, you know. Pea picking high faith. And all the horse and the rider and all has been destroyed in the sea. We're never going to murmur, complain again. We got it made. The very next day they come out there and they come to Mara, the water was bitter. They was ready to go back to the links, the garlics and the onions. Go back to that Egypt food. Go back to bondage. But all of a sudden, God began to speak to the leader. And he says, parallel to your pathway, there's a tree that's growing. Brother, parallel to your walk today, there's an answer. If you're walking with God, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of your faith. Moses cut the bush down. He began to stir in that bitter water. And what happened? It became sweet. Brother and sister, today, parallel to your pathway, if you're walking with God, there is the answer. Stand with me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, as we have come into your presence to minister the word of the Lord that you have shared with us. Father God, this morning that every ear spiritually that has been stopped, Father. Father, unstop these deaf ears even as we send your word. Lord, we know that it's not only physically that you're going to heal these deaf ears, but oh God, also spiritually, Lord. That you're going to unstop these ears, Lord. Lord, that we're going to behold your eternal plan, Lord. Oh, God, your ultimate intention for us, Lord, that you're leading us into, Lord. Father God, this morning that this word, Lord, oh, God, to be driven home, Lord. And Lord, that this word to become flesh unto this people, Lord. Oh, God, that they lay hold upon this word, Lord. And Lord, to be an overcomer in every aspect of their being, Lord. Lord, we see those that are overcomers, they sit in the throne room. And oh, God, we see those that are sitting in the throne, and then we see those that's sitting out in the midst out there, Lord. Oh, God, this morning we pray, Lord. And Lord, we speak unto overcomers, Lord. And Lord, those that came here with problems, Lord. And Lord, the problems has been over top of them, Lord. Father God, we bring them out from under the slavery of that problem, Lord. And God, we deliver and set free that they'll walk in your word and the word of God to become flesh into their being. And Lord, that they'll be made overcomer, that they inherit all things, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.